Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear about a new programme in Denver that offers alternatives to policing, particularly around areas of mental health and addiction. Then, with conversations mounting about removing police from schools as part of the Defund the Police movement, we'll revisit an interview from 2019 with an organisation that has been raising awareness about the disproportionate impact on students of colour of police in schools. Then we'll hear from you, the listener, on the comment line. After headlines from the BBC at the bottom of the hour, it's time for science. And today we'll bring you Science in Action from the BBC. Today's show takes a look at the medical complexity of COVID-19. At 9 o'clock, it's Alan Watts rounding out this morning's news and public affairs. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. A bill that would lead to significant reform of law enforcement advanced at the State House yesterday. The bill has some Republican lawmakers supporting it after amendments were made. Some amendments include removing part of the bill that would have left an officer responsible for paying part of a settlement incurred by the department, whether or not they had acted in good faith. That was replaced with language saying that officers would be expected, if they acted in good faith and a reasonable belief, that the action is lawful. Representative Leslie Herod, a Democrat from Denver and one of the sponsors of Senate Bill 217, says that a core component of the bill is ending qualified immunity for police.
So what we are doing is removing qualified immunity so that law enforcement that does act criminally or unlawfully can be criminally prosecuted.
Some of the language around qualified immunity was amended, but it remains part of the legislation. Denver City Council met in person on Monday night. It was the first in-person meeting since the coronavirus restrictions were put in place in March. Tackling police brutality in the wake of the recent protests dominated much of the discussion, with more than 50 members of the public lining up to speak on the issue. Two City Council members, Stacey Gilmore and Chris Hines, called for a measure to defund the police department. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock issued a statement on Monday evening saying that he understands people's frustrations and there's always room to make improvements and implement big changes if they're necessary. But he added, "I'm not inclined to oversimplify this into defunding the police department." Denver City Council also passed a proclamation that declared racism a public health crisis. Denver Police Department has announced three policy changes in the wake of the recent protests. These include no exceptions to the ban on chokeholds. Denver Metro SWAT body cams must be recording during tactical operations, and officers must now file a report any time they intentionally point their gun at a person. City staff in Longmont has started removing tape from playgrounds in the city as part of the city's reopening of picnic shelters and playgrounds. Steve Miller has more.
The city said the new Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment guidelines, announced last Thursday, remain in place for all Longmont parks, playgrounds, shelters, and other facilities. Some of the guidelines include avoiding the park if you are having flu-like symptoms, maintaining 6-foot social distancing, having face coverings, and no more than 10 individuals may be on a playground or in a shelter area at one time. Officials said Longmont's park restrooms remain open and continue to be cleaned twice daily, but please bring hand sanitizers and wipes when using those facilities. Use of playgrounds and shelters is at the visitor's own risk. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Three prominent restaurants in Boulder will permanently close. The Walnut Restaurant Group, which operates The Med, Brasserie 1010 and Via Perla, will permanently close those three eateries, according to a message that was posted on Monday to the restaurant's websites. The message said that with the new economic pressures that the hospitality industry is facing, they simply cannot continue to run and operate their businesses with the level of quality and service that they're committed to providing. In the weather today, showers will continue this morning with breezy conditions, much cooler around the Front Range after last night's thunderstorms, heavy rain and wind. Expect temperatures today to just top out in the low 60s. Warming up though for tomorrow, sunny skies in the forecast with highs in the mid 70s and getting back into the mid to upper 80s for Thursday and Friday, and it may get into the low 90s for Saturday. It is 9 minutes past 8 o'clock. On Monday, June 1st, an alternative emergency response service for mental health, substance abuse and other public health emergencies was dispatched for the first time in Denver. This is part of a pilot program known as Support Team Assisted Response, or STAR. It's going to be run for 6 months in central Denver before its expansion to the rest of the city. Now, the service is a mobile crisis intervention service, and a van that carries a mental health clinician and a paramedic is dispatched, and it will provide free medical care, first aid or mental health support to a broad range of non-criminal emergencies. These could include drug overdoses or mental illness problems or intoxication. Well, the STAR service is actually dispatched through Denver's 911 communications center, and it's intended to divert these types of calls away from police officers and toward mental health professionals. Well, one of the community groups that has been involved in making this program a reality and has been supportive of it is the Denver Alliance for Street Health Response. I spoke with Vinny Cervantes of Dasher.
The Denver Alliance for Street Health Response, otherwise known as Dasher, we have been focusing on creating community-based alternatives to policing in jail since about 2018. And so, this came out of previous efforts with criminal justice reform where, you know, at one point we looked at it and said, there's these reforms that are happening, but they're taking a really long time. And so in the meantime, we should have ways of creating programs that avoid using police in jail. And so that's how we were created. And we've been working mostly on bringing a program similar to one in Eugene, Oregon, called Cahoots to Denver, which is a community-based response mechanism that they use in their city.
Well, of course, the last, more than a week at this point of actions that we've seen on the streets of Denver has also shone a spotlight on the need to have folks like yourself as well. Give us a sense of how the Denver Alliance for Street Health Response was actually operating during the recent protests, and particularly with the police using chemical weapons on peaceful protesters.
Yeah, we knew that, you know, there would be some response when it comes to protest, especially when it's about police violence. We have some medics that we sent out there, including myself, who, you know, we just kind of went out there hoping to, you know, be helpful. And we're able to connect with a larger kind of network of medics that was developing over the course of the weekend throughout Cap Hill. And so we were trying to support, you know, kind of just getting resources to people, getting supplies to people, and also treating people as they were being injured. So most of it was, you know, directly in the action, but we were also coordinating with those medic stations as well.
Well, in addition to providing immediate emergency care for people who are on the streets during things like the protests that we've seen, I mean, really what's happened over the last week or more has shone a spotlight on the need to have really comprehensive reform in terms of policing on the streets of Denver, and how even before there were many communities that were distrustful of the police, and now that I'm sure will spread even more. And even though there have been promises of internal investigations, those have happened in the past, and yet we're still in 2020 where we're seeing this type of police action on the streets. So put everything into context, because I mean, your group, I mean, you first started talking about this over a year ago, really, about this pilot project. And now a year later, it seems that there's an even more urgent need to have this type of alternative to policing.
Yeah, and I would say some of these conversations really started with the people who founded Dasher in 2017. So it's been a little while that we've been having that specific conversation about alternatives, or at least the alternatives that we're approaching now. I think that there's kind of two different lanes that people can work through, which is one, which is accountability and overall oversight of law enforcement and their activities? And then two, how do we create alternatives that get away from using policing in jail? So, you know, in the realm of reforms, we continue to see these things happen, especially in Denver. And so, you know, Mayor Hancock did a memorial for George Floyd, but it's like he's never done a memorial for Michael Marshall, Marvin Booker, Jesse Hernandez, Paul Castaway, the many names in Denver who have been killed by police. And so in terms of accountability, I think the most effective things that can happen are improving independent oversight, making sure we have district attorneys that are going to file charges, and then changing the use of force policy, but really addressing the power that police and sheriff's unions have to really enforce that policy and within the department and defend their officers who are accused of harm. I think that we can also do a lot of things in terms of creating more opportunities to strip get rid of their accreditation as officers. There's the Peace Officer Standards and Trainings Board that accredits all officers as peace officers. I think that they could use more power in terms of, you know, getting rid of officers from their jobs to be a peace officer in Colorado. And there's not a lot of talk around that piece of it. I think some legislation that's been introduced recently is kind of touching on that. But those are the reforms, and that's not really what we're working on. Although I know a lot of folks who are working on some of those things, we're focused on those alternatives. Because I think when we look at the problems, they are deeply systemic in how we view safety. And so Dasher was founded in the prospect that we can transform safety to have alternatives on one hand, but then also declare basic human needs as a public safety issue, like housing and food and security. Addressing those issues could be public safety issues. And that's what our organization has been focused on.
Give us some examples of how this could work and how we could have alternatives to the current form of policing that we have. And particularly when it comes to, say, police response to mental health issues or addiction issues, which instead of being treated as a health issue, they're being treated as a criminal justice issue. I mean, you just have to look at the jails and the prisons to see how many people are in there because of mental illness. So give us some examples of how it could actually work.
Yeah, and what you said is a perfect example of like the distinction between punitive measures and treatment. And that is like the difference between law enforcement showing up versus, you know, a mental health clinician or medic. And so the model that we were trying to bring to Denver, which is called CAHOOTS in Eugene, Oregon, it pairs, you know, they call it a medic, but they have some level of EMT training, and then a mental health clinician, and they ride in vans, and they have access to 911, and they're able to show up, depending on whether somebody who's in crisis either calls their direct number or calls 911, and it's decided that that's a situation more appropriate for this CAHOOTS model. And so, you know, basically they just show up and they either de-escalate, they assess the situation. If somebody needs treatment, they can take them somewhere. And what really makes this program successful is not just the response mechanism, which is the community van, but it's also the network of services that they have that they can actually take people to if they need either a service or a shelter or somewhere to go. And also another thing that makes it so successful is the community narrative that they don't have to call police for everything. And there is another option. And so in Denver, you know, we envision something being very similar of, you know, having that kind of a van or that kind of a response mechanism, but also really building up our service infrastructure to where we have places to take people that they can get there, that they can get treatment or get serviced. And also having a community narrative in Denver where we're not going to call police all the time.
Now, I know, Vinny, that you've been, you know, talking about this and rolling this project out, gosh, more than a year at this point. But do you think that the current situation and the current spotlight that is really shining a light on what's happening right now with policing, that this is the time that we really might see programs like this rolling out in earnest, and maybe not just in Denver, but in other cities as well? I mean, how can we take advantage of the current situation to really have these comprehensive discussions about what community policing looks like and what some alternatives would look like?
Yeah, I think our current crisis underlines the need for it. You know, again, like, you know, we have George Floyd and Breonna Taylor right now who are really thinking about, and we need to honor their lives and the fact that they were killed needlessly through very systemic problems in our country. But it highlights how that's happened in our state, where Colorado is the fourth state overall in this country in terms of people who are killed by police per million residents. And so we have a problem in this state. And I think it is a really good opportunity to talk about, you know, how we navigate resources to we respond to crisis and how we respond to safety issues. It's a really great opportunity to talk about that and to start really thinking critically and creatively about how we can do things differently. Because as we've seen time and time again, what we're doing right now, it's not working. And it's creating more violence and more harm to our community that we have some urgency around trying to fix.
Well, Vinny, what's next for Dasher? And how can people support your organization and support your mission, particularly as the time seems to be so ripe right now to bring in real conversations about alternatives to policing?
Yeah, I think on one hand, they can follow us on Facebook to get involved directly with our organization. It's just Denver Alliance for Street Health Response. If you look at it on Facebook, our website is dasherco.org, dasherco.org. You can go to either of those things to get directly involved. In terms of what we can do to mobilize around this moment, you know, we have an immediate need right now for responding to the protests, for distributing water, for, you know, if you are a street medic, for supporting in that capacity. We have, you know, we've been working with that network of medic centers that I think, thinking beyond the protests, how that can be effective for addressing poverty, for addressing homelessness, to have that community support. And that's what's been really powerful about, you know, what's happened in Capitol Hill, is that, you know, we have come together as a community in so many ways just on this notion that we should support each other. And we know that we're going to be harmed and we need to be there for each other. So we need immediate help in organizing that effort and making sure that we can actually carry that narrative after the protests as well to help our community. And then I would say, as far as our alternative to policing programs or our alternative to jail programs as well, we need just more community involvement and community voices, especially those that are impacted by, you know, police violence or jail or people that are just impacted people by these issues. And we need more voices at the table for that. So, you know, they could also visit our website or Facebook page to get involved. We're hoping that we, you know, not only are able to launch this type of program in Denver, but like you said, beyond, you know, Boulder, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, Pueblo, these are all places that could use programs like these. And, you know, we would really love to partner with different cities to make that happen as well.
That's Vinny Cervantes with the Denver Alliance for Street Health Response. They're part of the coalition of various different community groups that have been part of setting up this alternative emergency response service for mental health and substance use. It launched last Monday, June 1st, and that is known as Support Team Assisted Response, or STAR. Well, a major part of the Defund the Police movement is asking school districts to break contracts with local police departments. Police officers are a common sight in middle and high schools around the country, but critics say that students of colour are being criminalised in school. Padres y Jóvenes Unidos in Denver has for years been raising awareness about this issue. A year ago, I spoke with Jake Cousins of the organisation.
We get sold this idea that school safety means increased, you know, armed personnel in the building and metal detectors and, you know, discipline procedures that push out the quote-unquote bad kids. But what research tells us is that if you have a police officer stationed at your school, and you can call them school resource officers or anything else, they're sworn police officers, you're significantly more likely to receive a ticket or get arrested for a minor offense. And what we see too is that if you attend a school that's 70% or more students of color, you're six times more likely to be ticketed than, you know, students at a predominantly white school. And those racial disparities are obviously really troubling. And, the community response that we've heard at Padres, and the reason that we're raising these concerns, is that we think that the over $10 million that the district spends on different forms of school policing, whether it's their internal security force or actual, you know, sworn DPD officers, could be better used. That we could use $10 million to put that money towards restorative practices or mental health professionals or social workers, academic counselors, any of the things that research has shown really support our kids and help kids stay successful and in school and learning, and make school environments healthy places rather than making our schools feel like prisons and just ticketing and arresting our students.
Well, just to put some of this in context, there was a report that came out that showed that 58 students have been handcuffed, placed in handcuffs by police officers in Denver Public Schools between 2017 and this year. And there was a recent social media storm when a father of an elementary school student in a Denver public school shared his experience that his son had been placed in handcuffs. And so talk about the criminalization of behavior in these schools. As you said, it's predominantly students of color. Behavior, similar behavior in a more affluent area is treated within the school with discipline procedures like, say, detention or something like that. But in other schools, it's treated as a criminal offense.
That's right. And it's like I said, it's much more likely if you have a school, you know, a police officer stationed at your school, that those minor offenses do get rolled into discipline or get rolled into tickets and arrests rather than discipline that the school should be handling. You know, you see scenarios where something that would traditionally be a trip to the principal's office gets handled by the school resource officer, and now you are talking about, you know, children as young as elementary school being placed in handcuffs. We don't have data from Denver Public Schools, but nationally, the majority of students that are ticketed or arrested in schools are under 15. So we're not talking about, you know, near adults. We're talking about middle schoolers and elementary school students. And while we, you know, value school safety, everyone does, there's not a lot of evidence that suggests that having more, you know, security personnel, school police, actually makes students safer. In fact, the stories that we hear from parents are like the ones that you're citing. And if you look at these trends nationally of arrests that take place in schools, you know, it's a fraction of a percent, 0.2% of arrests actually involve firearms, right? These aren't massive security breaches. They're, you know, acts of defiance or shoving another student in the hallway that end up getting rolled into students being placed in handcuffs.
Then, of course, there is a long-term impact of that, not just the psychology of being forcibly restrained in your school, but if these kids then do get a ticket and ultimately that could end up as a criminal record. Talk about the long-term implications of this approach to discipline in schools.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the school to prison, really the preschool to prison pipeline. Your educational outcomes and your social outcomes are dramatically worsened if you receive a ticket or arrest at young age. That's something that follows you through the rest of your life, both because, you know, you're often suspended or expelled with that and are removed from the learning environment, but now you have a criminal record that follows you because of, you know, some minor adolescent behavior and behavior, as you said, that's treated like kids being kids in certain districts and in certain schools that are affluent and white and not handled the same way with students of color. And sadly, that kind of push out is so common that, you know, we have national movements and campaigns around this because the outcome for our kids is so severe and for our society is so severe. We end up, you know, spending three times as much on every individual that we incarcerate that we could have spent in just supporting them as students rather than criminalizing them.
It's Jake Cousins speaking with KGNU last year about the work that Patrice Jovenes was doing about removing police officers, otherwise known as school resource officers, from schools. This is something that Denver Public Schools is taking on. The school board is set to discuss that this week. It is 8:27. Stay tuned for the comment line.
Support comes from Outworld Brewing, reinventing the brewpub experience through sci-fi fantasy themes. Located in between Highway 287 and I-25 on Highway 119 in Longmont. A culinary and craft brew experience, now available for takeout with curbside pickup. Learn more at outworldbrewing.com.
Thank you, KGNU. On June 5th, KGNU aired an interview that Maeve had with Dr. Maria Michael, a Lakota Dene spiritual leader, about obtaining basic supplies to help Dene and Hopi to stave off the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. You can listen to this interview by going to the KGNU website. Please do so and donate. People listening to my comments might remember hearing about the Navajo code talkers. They used a secret code during World War II based on the Navajo language. This code was never broken and helped the Allies win the war. Now the Navajo Diné need help. This isn't written in secret code. Please give what you can. Thank you.
Hi. After hearing the Make Them Hear You this Wednesday, I thought my head was going to explode, to be honest. It was an interesting show, and I'm sure Chris means well. I question, at a time like this, quoting Barack Obama, who basically said that, well, we've got to rely on the voting, you know. We really shouldn't be protesting. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, I mean, to be really honest, how white, how privileged, how old KGNU is, and how it doesn't get it, just doesn't get it why people, young and old, and not white, although some white ones do, are protesting the way they are day after day and night after night in Denver and cities across the country. I don't know if we're just so scared, so colonized, that we can't think of anything else except voting every 4 years, and that's all we can do, and other than that, we must put order first. As MLK talked about, the biggest enemy to progress is white moderates who put order in front of justice, who are more concerned about order and peace and calm than justice. And I am so saddened that it seems like KGNU aids and abets in exactly that. I'm upset about this. I really am. Thank you.
And that is the comment line. 303-447-9911 is the number to call.